Altero Biosciences has secured 29 million rand in pre-seed funding to advance its universal donor cell platform, which is an important step for Africa's emerging cell and gene therapy field. Well, Alexander Mrzewski, biotech entrepreneur, and Professor Michael Pepper, an immunologist and director of the Institute for Cellular and Molecular Medicine at the University of Pretoria. Hi, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Good to be with you.
Can we start off the why? What kind of problem are you trying to solve?
Yeah, perhaps I'll take the first question. So thanks for the opportunity. I think, as you've pointed out, this is a very significant milestone for biotech on the African continent. And I think it's well recognized that Africa is a major contributor to global disease burden. We make the highest contribution to communicable or infectious diseases. And from the point of view of non-communicable diseases, which includes cancer and particularly cardiovascular disease, we're seeing a huge increase on the African continent. But despite that very high disease burden, there is very little that is currently being done to address these areas from the point of view of advanced therapies. And this is really the future of medicine, involving gene therapy and stem cells and the sort of things that Altera is doing. So this is a very significant milestone. And, you know, we feel extremely privileged to be able to be in this position. And what we're attempting to do is to bring some of these high impact, but as I say, underutilized therapies on the African continent, beginning in South Africa, but obviously with a view to extending elsewhere on the continent and definitely beyond the continent itself. As an immunologist, one of the key issues that I need to confront, I'm no longer practicing as a clinician, but in my position of research at the university, is the fact that Africa hosts the highest genetic diversity in the world. And so we struggle to find a match between donors and recipients when it comes to transplantation, whether it be of cells or organs and tissues. And so we need to find ways of addressing this. And the beauty of having to deal with this problem on the African continent is if we can solve it here, we can solve it for the rest of the world. And so our goal is to try and address this through some of the technology that we're developing. But I think it's really important to point out that it goes well beyond simply transplantation. Transplantation was our point of entry, but the therapies that, or the platform that Altera is developing, which may eventually result in therapies, but has many other applications, will evolve from this problem of genetic diversity and transplantation into many other areas of medicine. And so it's not transplantation limited, but it is the concept or it is the problem that we're trying to address that got us started. So I hope that gives you some sort of idea.
So Alex, how did you get involved?
So it's quite an interesting story. Our lead investor, OneBio, both sort of knew Michael and myself in our individual separate capacities. We were both working on sort of different things and different problems at the time. And Nick Walker at the time seemed to think that Michael and I would be very well matched as a co-founder pair. After speaking to me, I think he reached out to Michael. Michael and I met. And I think within an hour of meeting, we decided we were going to do something together. What that was has sort of gone through different iterations, and a few years later down the line, here we are.
So what kind of therapies are you guys developing? You know, how do you address these, what you said, these unmet clinical needs that exist in Africa?
Maybe I'll take that one again. I'm not going to go into the detail on what we're developing. It's really too early in our business. We've really just started doing the work. In fact, we've only been operational for a very, very short space of time. And I think it would not be comfortable to go into to detail. I think what I have mentioned previously in response to your previous question is that we have a very high disease burden on the continent, and we need to address this using modern therapies. So if you look at the whole overarching area of advanced therapies, it involves regenerative medicine, which involves stem cells. It involves adoptive therapies, which involves treating cancer. And particularly exciting now is we're able to treat and cure certain blood cancers, which previously were just not treatable, like leukemia, lymphoma, and myeloma, using these advanced therapies. And then equally exciting is the use of gene therapy. So what I can tell you is that we are modifying cells using techniques which are really at the forefront, the cutting edge of modern medicine, which will then change the way in which the cells behave, and we'll be able to then give them back to patients in a way that will benefit them and hopefully be able to treat their disease. As I said, the starting point initially was transplantation, but the direction that we're heading in goes well beyond transplantation and could end up treating many other diseases. I've mentioned cancer and cardiovascular disease, so I think those are areas that we will ultimately get to. But you know, as I said at the beginning of this question, I don't think it would be wise to go into too much detail at this point. Not from the point of view of not wanting to withhold the exciting work that's going on. I just think it's too early. If you had to ask me this question again in a year's time, I'm sure I'll be able to tell you a lot more. You know, when we have a lot more under our belts and we can speak with confidence. I don't necessarily subscribe to the idea of jinxing a project. But I think to say more than is absolutely necessary at this point is probably not in the best interest of the company.
Well, absolutely understood. Yeah. Reveal your IP. So Alex, do you want to jump in there?
No, I think just to echo what Michael says, I think what's very unique about this company, not different to any other biotech companies, but quite different to the companies we typically see funded in South Africa, which are predominantly tech companies, is that the entire value basis of this company is our intellectual property. So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do from an IP point of view. Patents need to be filed. And for anyone who's not aware with things to do with IP law, as far as IP law goes, as soon as something's in the public domain or you disclose it before you file the patent, it is no longer protectable. So as Michael said, it's not that we don't want to talk about what we want, but I think it is too early and we've still got a lot of very important work, you know, that is aligned with our IP strategy that needs to be executed on before we can speak about it more openly.
Well, Michael, also quite interested in what kind of work the university, like the University of Pretoria, because, you know, it's amazing what kind of expertise exists in places like that. So can you talk a little bit about that?
I'd be delighted to do, absolutely. And I think I would talk for all universities in South Africa, not just the University of Pretoria. So just as a background, I lived and worked in Geneva in Switzerland for 20 years and then came back to South Africa 20 years ago. And I had the incredible privilege of being at the cutting edge of modern medical science. Coming back to South Africa and being able to apply that in a very unique setting. So from a research point of view, that unique setting is that we have a very high burden of disease, and we have some diseases which are most prevalent in South Africa when compared to the rest of the world. So that gives us a unique opportunity to go into areas that perhaps people in other parts of the world would not be able to do. So that's the first thing. We have, I know this sounds macabre, but from a scientist's point of view, it's like having, you know, being in a playground and having everything that we could possibly access. Obviously, that's not in the best interest of the patients, but certainly from our point of view, we have so much that we can work on. The second thing is that South Africans are by nature extremely resourceful and highly energetic people. You will have seen they've done extremely well all over the world. And so when you combine that resourcefulness with this opportunity, there have been many firsts in the world. I think probably one of the most notable is where I did medicine was at UCT. So that was Chris Barnard. And most recently with the COVID-19, with Professor Tulio Oliveira, we were able to get ahead of the disease. And South Africa made many major contributions. So from, I think, in terms of all the universities, and obviously that includes the University of Pretoria, we are in a favorable position because we have such an incredible workforce and we have these opportunities to make important contributions. So how does this now, how does this apply to Altera? Well, we are now in a position to address some of the major contributors to disease burden in South Africa and elsewhere on the African continent. And as I said, because of our genetic diversity, this then allows us to apply this in many other parts of the world. So we're poised to make an important contribution. What has been tricky up to now is that raising the level of funding that Alex managed to raise for Altera has been difficult, but we've shown that it is now possible, and I hope this will trailblaze for other biotech companies who want to work in equally important, if not the same area. Given the fact that there seems to be a diversification globally away from traditional areas of doing research, that is to say the global north, I think as the global south, we are now poised to make very, very important contributions going forward. And so that's, I think, where a lot of the excitement around Altera comes in, is that we are in a position now to make a major contribution, and we've shown that it is possible to raise the funding to do this. Now we just need to get the work done, and we need to make sure that we can, euphemistically put our money where our mouths are and make this work and be successful.
Well, Alex, the money that you raised, what does this investment signal about the potential of Africa's biotech sector?
I think this definitely signals an increase in confidence in the South African biotech sector and the skills and expertise that exist here. I think where there's still room for improvement, I think we've got first-class science that happens in multiple, you know, different disciplines throughout South Africa. I think what really has been missing is the bridge between science and commercialization. And I think what you've seen is the setup we've got and the way we've raised funding is really, really interesting. So OneBio is the sort of biotech VC specialist in South Africa. And they are more than just a VC, they actually are a venture builder. And I think we've benefited from this firsthand. They sort of brought Michael and I together. They said, we'd love you to work on a problem. Let's see what we're all interested and excited about. And let's come up with something that can be funded. And they really worked very, very hard with us over quite a long period of time to get to the version of Altera as it is today. And I think you look at how unbelievably knowledgeable they are, their contribution partnered with one of our other big investors, which is E Squared Investments, Alan Gray's venture capital arm. And with E Squared's patient capital approach being in sort of an evergreen fund for founders like Michael and myself, that suddenly creates a really, really interesting and effective capital situation for a biotech venture, which by nature is a much more patient long-term investment. So I think it's a really, really positive signal. I think we've shown that it can be done. And I hope that there are many, many other companies that come after us And hopefully we've addressed or, you know, figured out ways through the maze of obstacles we've had to navigate to get here.
Where do you see yourself, well, in a year, in 5 years?
I am based at full-time at the university. So the company is based here. We're doing the work here. The students are here. So in a year's time, we will still be here. We'll still be working on the project, doing the science. The vision, clearly, if everything goes our way, would be that Altera then evolves into a standalone company outside of the university, where it would probably have influence well beyond South Africa. Whether that means having labs and offices in other countries, you know, that could well happen. But you know, we're hoping that this will evolve, and the sky really is the limit, I think, for anybody, not just for ourselves, for anybody working in this space. You know, whether we remain on our own or we partner with other people on one or more of the many opportunities that we have in the country will be determined by the science, by the data that we generate. But I think neither of us is setting any sort of limit on this. We want to take this as far as humanly possible. And I think it's really important that I speak for both Alex and myself when I say that we're driven by the need to make a difference. So we have this opportunity which has been given to us. We have a need which needs to be satisfied. And I think for both of us, the prime driver here is to be able to address that need through this incredible opportunity, and at the end of the day, to make a difference. You know, as Shakespeare said, when you shuffle off this mortal coil, which we all will do eventually, you can't take any of this with you, but you can leave something behind that's going to make a difference. And I think for both of us, that's our major driver, is that we really want to make a difference as South Africans, proud South Africans, but also as global citizens. And so that this is applicable to other parts of the continent and to the rest of the world.
Just to echo what Michael said, we sometimes talk about that very first meeting we had. And I think if there's one, there were two things that we both bonded over immediately. Firstly, we both love horses, but that doesn't have a huge relation to Altera. And secondly, exactly what Michael said, we both really want to see the things we work on, you know, all the way from the bench to the bedside, have a real world impact. And I think it's, if you look at our team and how energetic and passionate and dedicated everyone is, I don't think that vision is applicable only to Michael and I. I think it's, you see it throughout the whole company.
Michael, can I just come back to something that you said earlier about the how different genetically people from Africa are? And you said more diverse. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, absolutely. I think it is a fascinating story, and it goes back a very, very long way. So women and men originated on the African continent. I think there's no question about that. I think everybody would agree. Whether it was in one place or multiple different places on the continent at the same time is open to debate. The point is that modern humans originated on this continent. And then there was the so-called out-of-Africa migration, which happened in the north of the continent, where a very small number of people left the continent and ended up populating the rest of the world. So from a genetic point of view, because that number was so small, the diversity in that group of people that left Africa was very limited when compared to the diversity across the rest of the continent. And as I say, those are the people that have populated the rest of the planet. So if you compare the diversity amongst everybody that is not African, it's very limited. So if you wanted to do, for example, a transplant between people that are of European origin, because their diversity is so limited, it's easy to find a donor and a recipient match. The problem is, if you're on the African continent and you're living with people that are so different genetically, To find an exact match between two people that are here is much more difficult because of those differences. So how have those differences come about? Well, first of all, time. Over a very long period of time, those differences start to creep in, and there are more and more of those differences. The other is that as people adapt to the local environment, their genomes become specifically altered. Well, not altered, they're specifically selected for to cope with those differences in the environment. And so that's how we end up having such a diverse population on the continent, even though we probably only represent about 18% of the global population. We probably represent well over 50% of the total diversity amongst modern humans. And you know, that actually counts in our favor in certain ways. For example, in the work that we do in genetics, where we look for variants, so those are differences in certain genes which may be responsible for certain diseases. If you want to look for variants that are possible within a given gene, you just need to look on the African continent. You'll find a large number of them. You know, whereas if you were to look in a very restricted population, where multiple generations originate from one or two founders, you can have a limited number of differences between the different generations. So that's why it's so exciting to work on the African continent, is because we have this huge diversity. But then, as I mentioned at the beginning, that counts against us from the transplantation perspective, because it's difficult to find matches. And that was Altera's point of departure. But I do want to emphasize, it's not the only direction that we're moving in. If we manage to achieve what we've set out to do, we'll be able to move into many other areas outside of the field of transplantation.
Thank you so much, Alex and Michael.